We're going to come to the Lord's Word in a moment, and then I'm going to speak a few words. I'm going to be talking about a love call. We all like to receive a love call, don't we? Yeah? The ladies are nodding and the men are... But let's just read Isaiah 6, 1 to 9 first. This is particularly relevant to myself, because this is a verse that brought me into ministry. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, and he seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings, with two wings that covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried, 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is now taken away, and your sin is atoned.' And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, Lord. Send me.'" I don't think we can read those words without being touched by them. See, that reading, it chronicles the calling of the prophet Isaiah to minister to the people of his day. That was a moment of decision for Isaiah, but I'm sure God had spoken and challenged him on a number of occasions previously. And we're here today because of Martin's calling to ministry. And we have heard how he, like Isaiah, heard God's calling on him. Martin summed that up in his statement made earlier. You know, I found that this word calling, it's generally people are interested in what's that all about. Generally interested in the word calling. What does it mean? How does it show itself? How do we know if it's genuine? And how do you know it's from God? And can I actually receive a call? I've had all those questions asked of me. You know, well, I don't have a prescription for it. But it may come as a persistent thought, almost nagging at you. Its source may be scripture, it may be your circumstances, it may be other people. But know that God's not prescriptive. He's not prescriptive. We must allow him to use whatever he wishes in calling you. But however it comes, I want you to know that it's a love call. It's a love call. In my notes, I've got written in capital letters, L-O-V-E-C-A-L-L, in capital block letters. It's a love call. Now, those of a certain age may remember a classic pre-war film called Rosemary, starring Janet MacDonald and Nelson Eddy. It was located in the Rockies. Now, I saw it later on TV in case you think I'm older than what I look. But in that film, there was a scene called the Indian Love Call. And it was Nelson Eddy, resplendent in his Mountie's red tunic. And he was on one side of a valley. And the girl who he loved was on the other side. I might need your help here. But it was called the Indian Love Song. And one of the lovers sings across the valley, "When I'm calling you." Alright? That echoes across the valley. And Janet MacDonald's on the other side, and she says, "I will answer too." Yeah? Right? Men? All the men to the ladies? "When I..." No, that's okay. I'm not asking that. You see, God calls his people out of love. He calls his people out of love. And real love demands a positive response. Demands a positive response. And this is what both Isaiah and Martin have done. A positive response. But you know, I would just want to give a few charges to Martin and then to the church about the working out of all of that. Martin, I want to say that your ministry will bring you great joy, but there will be occasions when it will bring you sorrow as well. There'll be highs and there'll be lows, joys and sorrows, and sometimes in the same day, even the same hour. But remember your call. Remember God's love call. Your love call at all times, remember it. In times of difficulty, your love call is a safety net beyond which he will not allow you to fall. You're called to preach and live the good news of the gospel, to preach it with fire, enthusiasm, taking no heed of apathy or opposition, because that'll come your way. The gospel of Jesus has and will change people's lives. But firstly, it has a tendency to make people feel uncomfortable. Why do people feel uncomfortable on hearing the gospel? Because the gospel causes people to examine their lives. Examine them. Ask questions of themselves. Ask questions of their lifestyle. Causes them and challenges them to make changes. And in doing so, to give their lives back to God. And you know, our human nature fights against all of that. Fights against all of that. My life's my own. You've heard that? My life's my own. I can do what I want with it. We're encouraged to think about that on a society level. My life's my own. I'll do what I want. Remember the rich young ruler in the Bible who came to Jesus to find peace and to find salvation. But Jesus knew that rich young ruler, his heart was where his riches were. That's what he held dearest. And he couldn't compromise on that. So he went away lost as he was when he first approached Jesus. So Martin, do not be dismayed or disappointed if you too sometimes receive the same reaction in your ministry. Jesus traveled the same road. And eventually he was nailed to a cross because of the message he brought. Ministry can be tough. But I want to say to you also, it's not complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated. See, follow and chase this call of God on your life. You and the church, follow this call. Follow this call. So together you can be the church that God has called you to be. Amen. And some charges for the church. You know, the relationship between a church and a minister is a sacred one. You know, as human beings, we don't always act as God would have us act. And as such, the church has always had to be reminded that there's a right and a wrong way to relate. Read the scriptures. Paul's often sending his letters to put things right that were in churches in the early church. Paul, writing to the Hebrew Christians in the early church, addressed conflicts that had arisen. And his advice passes through the ages and it remains relevant today. Writing to those converts, he reminded them, have confidence in your leaders. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you and must give account. We do this so that our work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. You don't want a leader who's spending so much time grieving that he can't be your pastor or her pastor. Elsewhere, Paul tells another church, hold your leaders in highest regard because of their work, and live in peace with each other. Now let me say clearly, the church and its minister doesn't always have to agree. But I find that God is always glorified when we can find a place where they can live with their differences. I always remember Queen Elizabeth. She was being questioned about how she lived her life and how she made decisions and how she was, when conflicts came her way. She says, I always keep my eye on the big picture. Keep my eye on the big picture. And the big picture for Christians is God glorified. Hallelujah. It's God glorified. You know, in my time at Sandy prayerfully, very carefully and prayerfully prayed for the Lord. Lord, what is it you want this church to be? What are you actually asking us to be? And what's the vision for the church? That didn't come easy. It took years. But eventually, very clearly, the Lord said to Sandy Baptist Church, this is the vision: to know the love of God, to grow in the love of God, and to show the love of God. And that's beautifully remembered in your banner there. That's the big picture. That's the big picture which should motivate and guide this church and its new leadership team. I say to the church, follow the call you made to invite Martin as your pastor. Be a church that is ready to obey and please the Father. A place where there's no competition or compromise, and a place full of people who are fulfilled because they're busy doing what God wants them to do. Amen. What God wants them to do. And let me just wrap this up. So we've heard about the plan of God has for Martin. But be confident that God has a plan for each one of us here. For each one of us. He has a plan and a destiny for each one of us. Each one of us. You know, I wasn't always a believer. I didn't become a believer until I was middle-aged. And only then did I discover what my life was really about and what it should be like. You know, Martin now submits himself to God's plans as he enters the ministry here at Sandy. But it's important that each one of us know that God loves us. And within that love, he has a plan for our lives. It's not just Martin. It's a plan. A wonderful plan. A detailed plan for all of us. Whoever we are. Might be calling us in all sorts of directions and all sorts of ways. But he has a plan for each one of us. And it's important that each one of us find out what our destiny in Christ is. What is our destiny in Christ? Lord, take away the fog. Let me know clearly what it is you're calling me to be in these days. I know there'll be people here this afternoon who have already made that prayer, who are already saying, well, I'm a bit confused. I know you have something for my life, Lord, but I don't know what it is. Well, keep praying. Keep demanding. God has a plan for your life. I remember when I first met, we're laughing at each other, when I first met Martin. Martin knew he had a call on his life, but he didn't know what that call was. He didn't know where it's to go here, go there, do this, do that. But together, him and the Lord worked it out. He worked it out what that call was. And he's very clear what his call is now. It's important for all of us that we find out our destiny in God. You see, because all of us, every one of you and me, are on a spiritual journey. And whether you currently know that or accept that, doesn't make any difference. You're on a spiritual journey. And I would ask you this afternoon to let God speak to you. I'd ask you to hear God's love call. L-O-V-E-C-A-L-L, large capital letters, block capitals, your love call. God is sending you a love call. And like the man and the lady in the Rockies, I will answer too. He needs an answer. Love calls demand an answer. He wants to hear back from you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to bring our time together very soon. We're going to sing our last song, Jesus Be the Center. You know, Christians have a wonderful story to tell. We've got a wonderful story to tell. And Martin's told you his story. But we're all called to tell the story of a wonderful God who loves his creation. So let's stand and sing.